ready for some meatballs.
This is a milestone episode for a couple of reasons. The one I will get into right now real quick is that this is episode 100. Yes, 100 episodes of The Meatball Composer. Many, many, many thanks to those of you that have listened all along or picked up along the way or listened in and out. Greatly appreciate it. This started as just a fun, silly hobby, and it turned into a funner, sillier hobby over the last few years. So this show, I'm going to talk to, once again, Mark Jansen, talked about some of the latest Bears news that we've heard, maybe catch up on baseball, where the Cubs and Cardinals look, as those are our respective teams. Actually, the Cubs are actually winning right now, which I can't believe. It's like 6-0. Crazy. They've got like 6 runs all year until today, it seems like. So we'll touch on that and maybe some more things the Bears may try to do in the draft to get a quarterback, because it's hard to believe they're just going to run with Andy Dalton, especially since Pace and Nagy need to save their job. So here we go, episode 100 of The Meatball Composer. Thank you so much for listening, and let's talk to Mark here.
The Bears!
I'm here again, once again, with Mark Jansen, live from somewhere in Louisiana where there's alligators and good football players. What's up,
That's
Mark?
That's right. Yes, I'm right dead center of Louisiana, and I've got my shiny new mic.
Woo-hoo-hoo.
For my podcast affair that I'm having with the Biblical Background.
Pitch that a little bit. Throw out a little info there.
Well, On Script is a pretty decently large podcast that's been doing a lot of theological and biblical topics for a little while now. They do like contemporary issues and things kind of that Christians might be, debating and whatnot. And now they're starting one with my friend and I and a few others who do archaeology and or ancient history in some way, shape, or form, to do a Biblical Backgrounds podcast, a sort of a branch of their bigger brand. And it'll be rolling out in a few weeks. I've recorded, I guess, 5-ish episodes, and we'll be, kind of hitting the ground running there. So, yeah.
Wow. I feel very stupid all of a sudden.
Nah, you've got that education.
Use big words, my friend. Yeah, well, at the end of our little talk here, well, there's another announcement to throw out, but we will get to that.
Right.
So make sure you keep listening. So, Mark, real quick, before we talk a little bearish here, the Cubs are winning 11-0, and I don't know what to do with that because they've scored like 11 runs all year until today. Do I get excited like, hey, they're back, or do I think, oh, great, this means they'll score no runs for the next 4 games?
So the Cardinals did this Wednesday? No, Tuesday. Whatever day. They scored 14. And I was like, oh, they used up all the offense. And then they went 19 innings without scoring a run. So I would caution you.
Yeah.
As my cousin just texted me, well, the Cubs are trying to regress to scoring all their offense today. And I sent him what I just told you. And he's like, yeah, that's exactly what they're doing. And so there you go. A baseball pessimism reigns supreme.
Yeah. That's been their MO. Even when they won the World Series, they would do that. They'd score a bunch of runs and then get shut out for, it's frustrating, but only a Chicago fan like me could like find a way to not be happy about scoring 11 runs.
It's like the Chicago Cubs are regressing to the mean for 2016, all these years later. Like, it's just one giant punishment for that. It's the new curse.
It could be. I mean, the Bears are still paying for 85 in that way. Oh, speaking of Bears and 85, Jim McMahon saying that the best organization he ever played for were the Packers, and that Bears quarterbacks go to Chicago to die. And he said all that, and I thought, yeah, he's kind of right.
Yeah. How? Oh, yeah, that makes sense. Yeah, he's right. That's what I thought. I was like, no, I didn't even think, how dare he? I'm like, yeah, I mean.
There were so many Bears fans flipping out on social media over that, like, oh, how dare he? And then even making personal attacks, like, well, he's got Alzheimer's now and blah, 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 all that. Like, come on. I mean, just save yourself the pain and the trouble and just admit that he is right. He is absolutely right.
Hope it changes soon. That's it. Like, they're a much better ran organization than the last 30 years. This isn't even up for discussion.
Yeah.
And QBs do go to Chicago to die. That's why we are always looking for one. Like, it's not a stretch to say that.
Yeah, quarterbacks come here and then we never hear from them again. Like, what did Cordell Stewart do after 2003? Is he even like...
I have no idea.
I know, that's the thing. And he was, you know, a decent Pittsburgh quarterback. And okay. Nick Foles died here and no one knows it yet.
Yeah, we got zombie Nick Foles backing up the Red Rifle.
Oh, my God. So, okay. I wanted to ask what you thought about that Jim McMahon thing, because I thought, yeah, okay, that stings a little bit, but he's right. It's absolutely right. It's true. And there's no point in trying to say, no, Bears.
If random ESPN talking head dork said it, would Bears fans have even cared? Does it only hurt because it's one of our beloved?
Yeah, I think so. It's the punky QB, man. And a lot of people...
I hope it irritated the right people at Hallis Hall.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Because, you know, here we are, still desperate for a quarterback.
Yeah, and I think because a lot of people still think that he's the best Bears quarterback. I mean, he's not even the best Bears quarterback since 85, in my opinion. I think I put two above him in terms of quarterback skills. Like, Eric Kramer and Jay Cutler were both much for better sure than Jim McMahon. But I mean.
I guarantee you, if you look at the first, 9 years, whatever we're in with Dalton, of their careers, Dalton's numbers would be way better. And I mean, in part of that's the era. But I'm sure he'll be totally mediocre. But that's pretty much what McMahon actually was.
Mm-hmm.
But I think people are only reacting because it's the one guy that won a Super Bowl at that position in this town. And you wanted him to be above that. And he's like, oh, Packers are a much better organization. And to me, I'm like, well, duh. You know, if Jim Rome pointed that out, I'd be like, well, duh. It's only news because he's the one who said it.
Yeah. Yeah, absolutely. And if you asked him, does that mean you enjoyed Super Bowl 31 more than Super Bowl 20? No, I'm sure that's not the case. I'm sure, you know, winning with the Bears is still the highlight of his pro career, but that doesn't change the fact that the Bears are a quarterback-killing franchise.
I don't know. Being the backup QB and being like, sweet, we're going to win a Super Bowl and I'm just going to hang out and not get hit. There's some appeal there, right?
Yeah, I suppose so.
And that's why he's a pro athlete and I'm not. No.
And when the Packers went to the White House, he wore his Bears jersey. I mean,
that's true.
Come on, just remember that.
He's allowed to be honest about the fact that the Bears can't find a QB. That's all it is.
Correct.
Yeah. All right. Are we doing Bears now or baseball now?
I don't know. I'm done with baseball.
Our teams stink.
Okay.
No, I have to ask you one baseball question.
Sure.
So until today, your Cubs offense had been just brutal.
Historically brutal.
Yeah. And the Cardinals have a rotation ERA, or maybe even the whole pitching staff. It's one of the two. Almost 7. Maybe over after the beatdown last night. So if the Cubs were to face the Cardinals now, right, you'd have the resistible force versus the movable object. What would happen?
Oh, man. That's maybe a couple pitchers duels, you know, tight games, 7-6, 8-7.
Well, it'd be entertaining because we'd meet in the middle. Okay. I think 3 runs, my cousin joked about this. I thought that was the perfect way to put it. 3 runs would be like an amazing outcome for either team. Remember when the Cardinals had pitching depth? Oh, I do.
It's been pretty sad. I mean, the Cubs' last series against Milwaukee, they scored 6 runs in 3 games. And then that night, the White Sox scored 6 runs in the first inning against Cleveland. And it was like, okay, all right, here we go.
Just enjoy the Sox with your son.
I will. Yeah. In fact, tomorrow's his birthday, and I'm going to get him some tickets for when the White Sox come to Kansas City, because we're about 2.5 hours from Kansas City. So,
happy birthday, son.
Son. Yes, son. No, he doesn't listen. So that'll be fun. I've never been to the Royals ballpark, Kauffman Stadium, I think that is.
I remember going once with my buddies in Bible college, and we tried to like move down and got in trouble. And I'm like, there's no one here. Why do you people even care? If anything, we're helping you, because now there's someone in the seat on the podcast. It's just like when the Royals were just unspeakably bad forever.
That happened to Sarah and me once at the Chicago Symphony. At intermission, we tried to move
down all places
the seats, and this guy gave us a real hard time about it, because he pays lots of money for those seats, and we didn't have the right to pay less and come down and enjoy the quality he did, or something like that. Like, okay, man, I'm sorry.
Wow.
Yeah.
Welcome anyway. To America, I guess. So back to the Bears.
All right,
football's actually more depressing, which is impressive. The Bears have some roster moves. First of all, everyone's favorite whipping boy, but still favorite. I don't understand this phenomenon. We love Cordero. Goodness gracious, words are hard. Patterson, because of Twitter, but then we hate him when he's a running back. And so somehow this is all translated into fans being really upset that he's leaving for the Falcons.
Yeah, and I think maybe because it's 1 year, $3 million, they're like, hey, well, why didn't we? We could have kept him for that. But 1 year, $3 million, that's what the market gave him. So what does that tell you about what the league expects from him at this point or next year?
Not much. And we actually have a real backup running back, finally.
Yay.
The guy who maybe should have won the Super Bowl MVP 2 years ago.
Yes.
Yes. So, like, the gimmick Patterson stuff, I don't know. I almost think Nagy can't be trusted with it, and I'm kind of glad it's over. But he's going to have Cohen back for his gimmicks, but still.
Did you forget he's an offensive genius? It sounds like you forgot Nagy's an offensive genius.
Thanks for listening, folks. He's, he is not an offensive genius. I'm trying to think of a sassy response that's not just blatantly honest.
Yeah, give us the Jim McMahon response to Matt Nagy's.
Oh, Chicago is where offensive coaches go to die. Duh.
Or is it maybe?
Here's the problem with Nagy, the offensive genius. He can't call plays. He doesn't develop his QB. He throws his QB under the bus. He and his other QB fight about the play card. He gets plays in late. He does all sorts of things wrong. For an offensive genius, what he is a decent leader. That's what we've got.
Okay, well, fair enough, but take all that negative stuff away. Then what do you got?
Okay.
Great genius.
A real estate agent?
Oh.
Oh.
Maybe roasted. Soon. Maybe soon.
He was a guy I wanted to hire. I wanted this to work. And I thought that the first year it was going to. And then the last 2 years, you're like, I don't understand. Mm-hmm. I don't.
Yeah, and like you mentioned, the throwing Mitch under the bus, that really rubs me the wrong way. Like, I was ready to be done with him after 2019, because it was apparent that he's a one-trick pony. Let's cut our losses sooner rather than later. But really, just basically, he hasn't come out and said it, but he's basically said it's all Mitch's fault that you haven't been able to see what I can do. Almost like he forgot that we saw him with Nick Foles, the quarterback who did run the system.
And it was even worse.
Yes. Yes.
That's the other reason even though I don't think Dalton is the answer at all, sure. And I am not even remotely excited about the Dalton era, and I still don't understand why you even bothered when you have Foles. I find it absolutely remarkable that the Bears think there's a gap between the two, because their jobs are on the line, and they think Dalton is either a smokescreen or they think he's the answer. That to me is just wild, because he's basically just Nick Foles, who was not the answer.
No,
I guess he's a little better, but not enough.
All the Foles did was raise new questions. He answered nothing. But do they think that Dalton's the answer? Because it's only 1 year. It's just a 1-year deal.
I don't know. Well, that's the other question. Like, what are they actually trying to do? We've talked about this, but let's return to it. Do you have any better sense now? Will you after the draft?
I hope so. I mean, they've got to have some plan for the draft, right? Don't they?
Yes. Put names on a card and have someone read it in the podium. No, I don't know. I really don't know. Like, I mean, in talking to other people about it, the idea is like, well, their plan is to try to save their jobs for as long as possible. Okay, sure. Dalton does that more than Foles? Marginally?
Maybe.
See, the trade for Russell Wilson would have done that.
Yes.
Does trading up to draft a QB to buy you time do that?
It depends on who it is, but I mean, how high can they theoretically get?
I guess I reject the idea that Dalton saves their jobs.
Yes, I agree.
But then I don't know what I'm left with.
But they have to know that, right? They have to know that they can't save their jobs by putting him out there, right? They have to have...
Chris, I'm not convinced this organization from the head coach up is smart enough to know any of the things we think they should know. They sat there and spun a 6-game losing streak from which I will never recover. And they spun that thing into a positive.
Yeah.
That logic, I don't know that I'll ever get past. Like, oh, right, that's the Bears. That's the Bears.
Yeah, I guess Bill Belichick never did that, did he? Or Andy Reid. They never spun a 6-game. Oh, they've never had 6-game losing streaks.
Did you hear what he did to the reporter the other day? It's pretty great.
No.
He's like, yeah, how you doing? You know, he asked some, you know, like the usual in a Zoom call thing. And the reporter said something kind of snarky, like, well, yeah, I don't really know, whatever, you know. And Bill's like, that's okay. We don't really care. Bless his heart. He's a throwback.
I can't stand him, but I like him.
Yeah. Okay, so we also have the signing this week.
Yes.
Big Bears news.
The fast receiver with 14 touchdowns over 7 years. Ooh.
And he didn't play the last two. And he had 20 catches the previous year.
Yeah. What's his name? He came from
San Francisco. Curtis Goodwin.
Goodwin. Right?
He's fast. Is he a returner? Is he doing the other return duty alongside Cohen? Like, is he going to do the kicks and Cohen the punts? Or like, this isn't a receiver that they can be counting on, right?
I wouldn't think so. You know, at first I thought when I saw the news, my brain read Godwin at first.
Yeah, that's a problem.
Yeah. So yeah, I didn't think about that as a kick returner. That happened real close to the Patterson signing with Atlanta. So maybe that, hey, this guy's fast. Catch the ball and run as fast as you can.
Younger, cheaper, maybe a tiny bit more upside, and I don't know. I can't wait for the bubble screens to him. I got to return to your brain trying to trick you. It's not bad enough that you have to have all the false hope that being a Bears fan inherently comes with. Now it has to try to trick you into thinking we acquired people we didn't. That's uncalled for.
Yeah, that did happen. And I was like, oh no.
Wait, what? How? Oh.
Yeah, that was a bucket of cold water, man.
There needs to be an overall sports rule. You know, if Bill Simmons was ever the sports star on this, if your name is too similar to an actual star player's name, you have to change it. So we signed Godfrey, not Godwin. Something like that.
Yes, that would be helpful. Or Goodwin, you know. They signed Dwight Goodwin. Sorry. Dwight Goodwin. Yeah, he's
Daryl Strawberry. Hey, my buddy, he might be listening. He ran into Daryl Strawberry after church at a restaurant a few weeks back, and like his kids have pictures with him, and he talked to him for a good long while.
Wow.
And it was like, that's just hilarious, because we always joked about Daryl Strawberry. Then he went home and he watched the Simpsons episode with Daryl Strawberry in it with his kids. I think I told you about that, but
yeah, that's
Daryl.
At the end when Mr. Burns benched Daryl Strawberry for Homer. Playing the percentages. All great managers do it.
Such a fun excellent.
Game. Excellent. Yes. Yeah. Any other Bears things? I mean, well,
there's all the trade rumors. We could probably talk about those a little bit. I mean,
how about the idea of people on Twitter, maybe you didn't see this, like, oh, Matt Nagy was watching Justin Fields. Like, okay, so? Like, are the Bears planning on moving up to 3 or 2 in the draft to take him? I don't see how.
I don't know. There's a lot of smoke to the Bears trade-up stuff now. But who would you be willing to trade up if it involved 2 first-round picks in the future? It's obviously going to be number 20 this year and then 2 more. Would you do that for any of the QBs that will be after 2? So 1 is Lawrence, 2 is Zach Wilson. They're gone. Would you do it for Fields, Lance, or Jones?
I don't think so. I mean, to me, Justin Fields seems the least likely of those first 3 to be great at the NFL. I don't know. Do you agree with that or disagree?
I disagree. Take that.
Ooh.
I think it's very bizarre what has happened to Justin Fields in the buildup to this draft. He was, for 2 years straight, the number 2 pick in this draft after Lawrence. And it was like the great quarterback draft because you have 2 guys who should go top 2, and any given year they would be number 1. And then all of a sudden, Zach Wilson kind of leapfrogs him. Okay, that's fine. That can happen. But now people are saying he might be available between 10 and 20. And I'm like, he played bad against Northwestern. He totally destroyed Clemson, even while injured.
Mm.
And he certainly wasn't why they lost to Bama. And it's like, you look at some of the crap he can do athletically, and I'm like, man, that upside is through the roof. He's definitely got a bust risk. He's also supposedly incredibly smart. Like, he scored a record on one of the tests. It wasn't the Wonderlic, it was the other one. I'm like, so why is he not a better prospect than Mac Jones and Trey Lance? Trey Lance has barely played college football, and he didn't play at Division I anyway.
Now, did he score highest for an Ohio State student or highest in general?
Highest in general.
There's a difference.
There you go. But, like, is he – so it's just strange to me because he looks like he checks most of the important boxes. But, I mean, I guess there's the – is he a one-read quarterback, you know, and that kind of stuff. But there's so many of them are now.
Yeah. And
I don't know about that as a disqualifier.
I think part of it with me, too, is that just – Big Ten quarterbacks in general and Ohio State quarterbacks never really seem to make it at the next level. I mean, who was the last Ohio State quarterback that went pro and was decent that you can
– I don't know. He was also a Georgia quarterback. We could find a couple of them. Here's my problem with that.
It's completely irrational. I admit it, but yeah, go ahead.
And I'm a historian, but I'm not sure what to do with this kind of stuff. Like – Yeah, that's true about Ohio State quarterbacks, but what does it have to do with this particular person?
Fair, yeah.
And this particular coaching system, right? Because they turn out other positions just fine, and he's only been there a couple of years, so maybe the stigma could break at that point. I mean, had anyone ever cared about a Texas Tech quarterback before Pat Mahomes? You know, like, you could do this all day.
I know, it's true. I think my thing with Ohio State is Ohio State quarterbacks is more the competition, like Big Ten – competition just
they were saying some of the same stuff about Justin Herbert though, and we would give our left arms to have Justin Herbert be the Bears QB. I don't know if I'd trade all the way up to like 3 or 4 for Fields, but man, if he's sitting there at like 8 or 9 and I'm not gonna have to give up quite as much, dang, I'm on the phone.
Will he be there?
But I'm not doing it for the other 2. I don't know. I saw a report today that said that there's a lot of people in the league who think he might be available from 10 to 20. And I'm like, really? Wow. Sign me up. Up to 4, that's a trickier because you're definitely giving rid of 2 future first to move up to 4.
Mm-hmm.
But Lance scares me because I see too much Mitch there. Like, not much experience, really good athlete, athletically, right? But does he understand what he's seeing? He hasn't played very much. And Mac Jones has the brain, I guess, and the accuracy, but he's very limited athletically.
You know what?
Fields is your chance for a home run. Sorry.
I was going to say that's – for Mac Jones, for me, that accuracy, I mean, that's the most important thing at the NFL, isn't it?
Yeah, well, that does give me pause, but I don't want to trade up for him. He's got too many question marks too, I think.
Wow, Chris,
I would take him in a second at 20.
Mac Jones?
I'd take any of them in a second at 20, just because you're not giving up anything else and you got to keep swinging for a QB.
If he was there, yeah.
But nobody thinks they're going to be there.
Yeah, it's going to be really interesting to see what happens those first 5 picks.
This brain dead Bears regime is just as likely to pick Davis Mills at 20 as they are to have one of those guys drop.
How do you feel about a tackle first round and then someone like Kellen Mond second round?
That's the best scenario that they could probably manage, short of being able to go up and get Fields to me.
Okay.
Because I don't want them to reach for a QB at 20, and I don't think the top five will be there. And they have enough needs elsewhere that tackle is a great position to grab at 20 in this draft.
Yeah. I think I'd almost prefer that. Is that weird?
Well, no, you're just a Bears fan who doesn't want to invest in the QB. You've been conditioned to think you shouldn't trade up. Well, can I ask you something?
Yes, please do.
How did the Chiefs acquire Patrick Mahomes?
They traded up to the 10th pick, I believe.
Yeah, and were they a wild card team that year?
They were a playoff team. Was it?
Did they win their division or were they a wild card team? The point is, they went up to get him.
Yeah, because they hosted the championship game. They must have been.
How did the Houston Texans acquire Deshaun Watson?
They traded up.
No laugh for that. Terrible.
What?
Not my Bill Cosby, Deshaun Watson.
Oh, I missed that. What did you say? Say it again. I missed it.
But how did the Texans acquire Deshaun Watson?
Oh, the kids look like they're about Deshaun Watson.
We are never interviewing Bill Cosby. Don't even ask. Bill, what do you think about Deshaun? No, I can't see him gonna do it. No. They were a division winner who went up to get him. If the Bears, as a playoff team, despite their six-game losing streak, are able to go up to like 8 or something to get the QB, okay.
Mm-hmm.
Or fine, but I just don't see it. I don't know why they would – I don't see how they make the offer that Atlanta takes if you have to get to 4 to get Fields when they could get it from Broncos and maybe the Patriots. There's other teams with higher picks that'll still do the same 2 first rounds thing.
I don't, you know, I just don't see that Fields and I can never remember Brigham Young kid's name. Zach Wilson. They're and then Lawrence, of course, they're all gone by 10. They may all be gone by 5 too. So
yeah, it's crazy. It's so hard to tell because it's also wild to think. I mean, everyone knows we're going to have 3 straight QBs with the Niners making that trade. Yeah. That's happened before in 1999. By the way, the 2 of the 3 stunk. So that's always kind of funny to think about.
99, that would have been Culpepper and...
No, was it 90 or is it 2000? It's Couch.
Oh, yes.
McNabb Achilles was Smith. And McNabb was the only one that was any good.
I think McNabb was 99. I think that's the 99 draft.
It is 99. That's what I thought at first.
Yeah, Couch, McNabb, Culpepper, Smith, and Cade McNown were all that.
But the top 3 was Couch, McNabb, Achilles Smith. Oh. And then Culpepper won 11 and McNown went 12, right?
Mm-hmm.
So the idea of topping that with 4 straight QBs is kind of wild.
That was supposed to be the best quarterback class since 83. But it didn't really work out that way.
Yeah, no, didn't at all. So, like, look at that. Bust, really good, humongous bust.
Huge.
Pretty good, huge bust. That's that. So your chances here are one of these 5 is going to be really good, one will be pretty good, and the other few will stink based on historical precedent, not just from that draft, but just drafts in general. Mm-hmm. Look at the Baker Mayfield, Josh Allen draft. Right, Baker's finally getting it together. Josh Allen's really good.
Yeah,
and then you've got to go all the way down to Lamar Jackson for someone who's really good. Darnold so far is a bust. Now he's got a new home, mm-hmm. And Josh Rosen's an epic bust. Yeah. Some of these guys are going to bust out. Do you want to be the team to trade 2 first-round picks for the 3rd or 4th best one? Gosh, that's a tough sell now when you put it that way, isn't it?
Yes, yes, it is.
But my point on Fields is, why has he gone from sure second pick for, like, again, 2 years running to, he might be out of the top 10 when his numbers are still terrific. His 2 pro days were fantastic. Did you see where he's throwing, like, running left and heaves it like 50, 60 yards downfield?
I did see that.
And then Mac Jones airmails a deep ball when he's just standing there.
I didn't see
that. I'm not trying to pick on Mac Jones. The NFL does this. They overthink it. And I think Fields dropping is teams maybe overthinking it. And it's like, well, maybe you could go up there and get the guy with that pedigree, I might do that, but I definitely don't do it for the other two.
Okay, fair enough. Yeah, if he's got a chance to be more like Patrick Mahomes, then who's a good statue younger quarterback right now in the league? Anyway, if he's got a chance to be that, like that guy, then yeah, it's worth the risk, I think. If you can somehow get him.
I don't know how you do that.
That's the thing.
I think I've given up a total of 3 first round picks.
I'll
have to look it up. When we do the pre-draft episode right before the draft, I will know the difference between going to number 4 and going to, say, 9 or 10. And if 9 or 10 is one less future first, 100% for it. Okay. If he's still there. But, thinking about the league in general, the idea that there's going to be 4 straight QBs is kind of wild. There's always the QB and then there's the other draft, but it's like, are they really going to go 4 straight?
Probably not, right? But
don't the Bears have to wait and see? Like, yes. If they traded for the pick right now with the Falcons, you know they'd be picking whoever's left at 4 out of the batch.
Mm-hmm.
Is that which is what the Niners did? They're like, nope, we're just going to go up there and we're going to get a QB now.
Yeah, and I still think all that they're going to get Mac Jones at 3 is all smoke and mirrors. And
I saw where Lombardi, chief among the NFL morons that is somehow famous, said that it's 98% certain around the league that they're picking Mac Jones.
I just don't see that.
When is anything in the NFL 98% certain? Like, what?
Yeah. All right, well, that's all interesting to speculate about, and like you said, we will – revisit that right before the draft. But is that a good transition to our big announcement?
Yeah, well, I'd just like to thank the Bears for never having a QB so we can have this podcast.
Thank you very much, Bears, for being terrible at being a place where quarterbacks go to die. That's right. All right.
Hit them with the announcement.
You have been the faithful guest on the Meatball Composer for a few years now. And that's when the show has been the most fun and most interesting to me. And you brought up the idea a couple weeks ago, and I think it was a great idea that the podcast gets revamped, retooled, and this will be the final episode of the Meatball Composer. Moment of silence. Okay, that's over. And
episode 100, what a perfect number.
Episode 100, so it seems like a good place to do it, to make this change. So the very next episode of this show will be rebranded as, you have to share the name. You came up with the
name.
Okay.
Yeah. Well, I was thinking, there's a lot of Bears podcasts. What's unique about ours? Besides that we're two goofballs just trying to have fun with it, and we're not like, ooh, let's interview someone and be super serious, except for when we have Ryan Pace on. And I thought, well, we're both PhDs. We're a composer and an archaeologist. That's kind of interesting. How could I work that into the title? And what we landed on after much deliberation was Barely Educated. BEARLY. Barely Educated.
I love it. Yes. So the next time you hear us, it will be the Barely Educated podcast. Or maybe just Barely Educated. I don't know. It'll be something like that.
Yeah, but the Barely Educated podcast.
Barely Educated
2 PhDs. Yeah.
I love
and we're going to have a new song. A
new song, yes.
If only we knew a composer.
I know, I'm going to work on that. I'm hoping so.
And I'm going to do some digging. I don't know how I can help. And then we're going to have some art.
Yes.
Maybe, eventually.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, so I got my artist cousin, MuralJoe.com, working on a logo for us.
So excellent.
Yeah. So, yeah, I'm excited about that. And I started this silly podcast, I think, 4 years ago, just because I heard myself talking on a recording a few times and hated how I sounded and thought, I need to get better at verbal communication. I need to talk. What do I like talking about? I like talking about Bears and music and sports and stuff.
Great idea.
To see that it's gotten to this point where, hey, we're actually going to do something more official, that's pretty cool. I like that. I'm excited.
Yeah, it's helped me too. And it was like great timing as far as like getting some practice with this before COVID and having to do all these video lectures. And I'm like, oh, I don't feel like I sound like an idiot anymore. And I don't say 500 times.
Yep.
But, like, it's been a good thing for, I think, career development for both of us. But yep, let's try to take the next step.
I agree. And thank you for suggesting it. And I am excited. When you sent me the name idea the other day, I like jumped out of my seat. I was like, that's it. That's perfect. That's wonderful.
Yeah. And thank you to the dear loyal listener.
Yes, thank you.
Or can we say listeners now? I've been using the singular as the joke for a while.
You got two? Are there two?
Got a couple. I got three or four.
By the way, would your friend and cousin prefer a new shirt, you think, from a new show rather than...
Oh, yeah. We'll have to get on that.
Yeah.
That's a good point. Get a new shirt guy.
Yeah, I'm going to have to, yeah, maybe just do it myself. Yeah.
We're going to all need shirts with the new logo.
Sweet.
Yeah, and also I guess we should let people know, too, that we're going to be not doing an episode next week, end of semester prof duties and blues, plus trying to finish some of the rebranding, at least as much as we can before we go with the next episode. Yes. So our first episode of Barely Educated will be the eve of the draft.
A draft.
Which is a big moment for football, right? That's as good as it's going to get besides the season starting, but we don't want to wait that long.
Probably the best moment of the season for us.
When hope springs eternal.
Yes.
When dashes our hearts
together, but probably not. Yeah.
This, we got the quarterback of the future.
Because Ryan Pace will do something weird. He'll channel Phil Emery somehow, and we'll get
the 20th pick in the NFL draft. The Chicago Bears select Ian Book, quarterback, Notre Dame.
Whoa. Is that a real?
And then we'll have a follow up episode the Sunday after.
Yes.
So we've got two planned to kind of hit the ground running that involve the draft, because of course you got to do the reaction and all the hatred and rage episode.
Right. And
the love for the picks.
Right. Love, of course. And we will branch out into more areas as well. Yes. Like you have a book we can talk about a little bit.
Right.
We have other guests we can talk about to cover the more educated side of the Barely Educated. As well, I think that that's a unique niche, whatever.
Mm-hmm. So primarily Bears, but still barely covering educational things too, correct, which fits the title.
Exactly, my friend.
And we hope you listeners enjoy.
Yeah, well, how could they not? Yeah, I agree.
They stuck with us this long.
Allow me to one final time thank you, Mark, for joining the Meatball Composer. And next time we talk, it'll be our show.
Always a pleasure.
All right, my friend. See ya. So, yes, thank you, Mark, once again for joining me on my silly little show. And I'm excited, thrilled that next time it will be our silly little show. Thanks for helping get the Meatball Composer off the ground and making it fun. Been a lot of fun, and I'm really looking forward to this next chapter. And thank you to all of you who have listened all this time, and thanks for the kind words that you've sent along the way about how you enjoy it, how it was actually better than you expected. Thank you to the guests that have joined. I think of Nathan Montgomery, I think of Ryan Stokes, James Gilliland, David Toledo, a number of people that have jumped on as guests over these last few years. My apologies if I'm forgetting anyone, but yeah, it's been a lot of fun, and I'm really looking forward to what Mark and I can bring to the table and widening the audience, or widening the appeal a little bit. So for one last time, thanks for listening to the Meatball Composer, Bear.
The Bears. You've been meatballed.